Hey, so today I'm joined by Nick Garza. Hey, Nick, how's it going?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Doing well, man. Appreciate you joining the pod today. So I'm going to introduce you to the audience, but I think you can give a little bit more detail than I could. But I'm joined by Nick Garza. He's a revenue operations manager at Memberzy. And so I'd love to hear a little bit about your background and what is Memberzy?
All right. So Memberzy, we're a company based here in Austin, Texas. We administer dental membership plans for DSOs. It's basically like a corporate franchise of dental practices. Sometimes they own them by hundreds, sometimes by a thousand. So we make it easier for them to offer an alternative to insurance by just creating membership plans. Pretty good business model. But anyways, how I got into revenue operations kind of started with a few experiences that kind of just crossed paths that kind of led me down this direction out of college. Shortly after I jumped in, I went to college for entrepreneurship. I really enjoyed the marketing side of things there. But soon after, I got a job in sales. Kind of got my hands on Salesforce, learned the inner workings of how that world works. Worked for a really big company that had a lot of inside sales reps. It was very churn and burn, and I realized that I kind of wanted to focus more on the marketing side of things. In college, I was doing design, flyers, and social media ads, and I kind of wanted to pursue that a bit more. So I had a few jobs working independently, doing some contract work, and then eventually I got a dedicated role working for a Brazilian steakhouse, kind of just doing all their marketing, web design, their emails. Worked really close with the seller that was doing the corporate parties and stuff like that. And so I was running campaigns. Then I went to a social media marketing agency. I was a director of social media there, doing a lot of analytics reporting for clients, a lot of conversion tracking, things of that nature. And I really just enjoyed kind of the technical side of it, you know, setting up JavaScript and this pinging this and conversions, lookalike audiences. So I kind of wanted to figure out how I can do more of that technical side of marketing rather than just kind of like the, you know, just like design or like social media graphics. Like it just wasn't really cutting it for me. And I love on the web development side, kind of how it all like the code and backend came together. Then I got a job at a place called EPAC, which we'd manufacture flexible packaging, you know, for dog food, chips, and all that sort of things. And that's kind of really where I really started my career in RevOps, although the title didn't reflect it. When you're working for a hyper-growth startup, we all know that you wear many hats. And so sometimes there's things that need to get done and they're not always budgeted for. And being the technical guy that I was on the small marketing team that we had at that time, I took that as an opportunity and I was curious to want to explore how to set up Pardot. We didn't have an implementation partner. It was just very bare. Just had to go find documentation. But I just kind of dove right into it and I really enjoyed just kind of learning more. I felt like it was aligned with the growth I was trying to get in my career. And after that, as you know, when you're setting up any marketing automation tool, you need access to a CRM, you know, to set up fields, to do syncing and all that stuff. So there was very little resistance on giving me access to basically the whole CRM, not even having a basically at that point in time, it was kind of ran by our IT team. Nothing was built out, really no intentions to build it out either, which is a little weird. As soon afterwards, they knew that I had permissions and I was accessible, like, hey, can you add more options for, you know, these drop-down lists, or can we track this and can you pull a report for that? And as I started to do it, because I enjoyed doing it, it just became more of like my overall role. And I started kind of shedding some of the things that I didn't really want to do in terms of marketing, like SEO stuff and things like that. And mainly focusing just on the marketing ops and sales ops. So I did about 3 years there. I learned a ton. But on that, basically around the last few months of that, is when I really realized what I was doing. And it was a combination of, mainly marketing ops and sales ops with a little bit of CS ops in there as well. So once I kind of found that out, I started to embrace it and I started to say, how can I make this a future for myself? How can I make this my career? And what do I need to do to continuously develop these skills? So that's when I got my certification in Salesforce. I had got my certification in Pardot. I started to do a couple certifications through HubSpot. And I knew in my next role I wanted to do that. I wanted to repeat everything that I did on system design. And I really wanted to focus more on the automation side. I really made it a goal of mine to really learn flow. I felt that that was really going to help me round out my skill set. Just by being able to like pre-populate a lot of things and just not have to hound, you know, a sales team about that. So I went ahead and did that. And at my new company, I just learned the business. I learned the industry. And I'm really proud of what I built. And just being as a team of one in my current role, it's all the last year has mainly just been about like prioritization, alignment, and handling, you know, competing priorities. But it's all happened so quickly for me, and there's always something new popping up with just new technologies, and I think that's just really keeps me invested in the field. Having a lot of you know, thought leaders that I follow, like yourself on LinkedIn, just being able to share ideas. The community is very tight-knit. It's just something that I really appreciate. So it's kind of where I'm at now.
Well, kudos to you. First of all, one, jumping into a frontline role in marketing, social media, and then taking the time to transition into ops, and then someone taking a bet on you. It's like, hey, here is this Ferrari. We have these keys. No one's driving it. Maybe you should just take it for a spin. And then there you are, right? And I think the cool thing is you've taken a tour of duty as well, right? You're not just doing marketing operations, you're actually doing a lot of the sales operations. I'm curious, what has been some of the most fast-paced learnings for you transitioning from not just supporting only marketing, but also now supporting sales?
I would say that I think the realization of it can't just all be the back end technical brains of things. There is a big people component that can't be overlooked when it comes to that. As much as you can set things up on the back end, a lot of the times you do have to rely on the frontline employees to actually follow some of these processes and procedures the correct way to in order to generate the data that leads to the value of what you're doing. I think that's been the ongoing thing that I've learned, that it's just not so simple just being able to be a good people person. But at the end of the day, it's really rooted in how can you motivate people? How can you show them the value of that you're not doing something just to provide value to management, but in return, there's also value that can help them be a better seller or a better marketer as well. And so those are some of the areas that I always feel like I will continuously have to round out. I can always go learn these technical things and just rinse and repeat those, but it's the people aspect of things is constantly something that you have to keep refining over time. And I think that's probably my biggest learning thus far.
So as a team of one, I've been there myself. I think the beautiful thing about a team of one is that, the platform that your sellers, your marketers, your CSMs use, everything you've built is what they're using. Now, I think the most trying thing, most maddening thing is that everyone wants a piece of your roadmap. So I'm curious, how you've evolved, how you think about prioritization. Like, are there specific tools that you're using, specific frameworks? How do you think about saying, look, the wait list is long, but here's what's going to get into the front of the line? I'm curious how you think about that.
Yeah, that was probably definitely the biggest learning point for me doing all of this, is a lot of people don't realize how connected your RevOps resource is to a lot of different projects. I did do a boot camp, and like I think it was like around like August of last year. It was a RevOps boot camp for provided by HubSpot. That really kind of helped me understand it on a deeper level about prioritization and alignment. Basically, I needed to insert myself more, and like whenever there's OKR planning and stuff, I needed to also make sure that I was a final say in some of those for all these departments, as because I needed to go through each one and see, am I going to be involved in some sort of tracking or some sort of documentation, some sort of technology, some sort. But before then, I was really, you know, reactive to things, and I was really struggling because I had already knew what my skill set was, and I laid out a list of my priorities. And then here comes sales, here comes marketing knocking, and CS meeting me for all these things. And I got really overwhelmed to a point where I started to kind of like, internalize it and be like, am I, can I not handle this? Can I not keep up with this? And that was really a turning point for me where I realized that I just need to be more assertive and taking control of what I can assist with and being able to say, hey guys, I would like everybody on a call together. And I would like everybody to say their top priorities that do align with the overall organizational goals. And I'm going to tell you how I'm going to fit into those. And everyone might have things that are really important, but you're going to get your turn eventually. But I think everyone needs to be on this call together to understand the other departments and the revenue teams, what they're trying to do. And if does that meet the priority of the company first? And then it's easier for them to understand that and say, okay, I'm going to back off from our RevOps resource for a little bit because I understand that he has to do these CS projects. And until you can have more resources to accomplish more, that's the only way that I found for things to, you know, productively move along to where no one is like trying to sidetrack me. And I've been able to be a lot more focused and strategic in that regard. And I've realized that I can't just always try to make my own priorities. It really has to come secondary to what the other departments need and me enabling and supplementing those projects.
You know, what I've always teach in the RevOps course that I facilitate is the idea of the difference between a checklist, a backlog, versus a roadmap. The roadmap is very similar, if not the same, as what product managers do and engineering teams do. So there's a lot of what, you know, principles in product management that can apply to revenue operations. And so what gets on the roadmap is either a Gantt chart view, and you can see, you know, here's what we're going to deliver in Q1, Q2, Q3, Q4. Now, if you want to get on that roadmap, something has to give. And it's either going to be, the quality of certain projects are going to get curtailed, or they're going to get wholesale moved off the line. And at the end of the day, you're not going to build every single little feature that every customer requests because you end up with a bloated product, a bloated platform. And so you want to be able to try to effectively communicate that to your stakeholders. Now, there's another skill that I would be curious to dig into with you is the concept of asking for resources. Not necessarily headcount. It could be an agency, could be a new tool. I'm curious, when's the last time you realized I can do this the hard way, the manual way, or I can build something or buy something or bring in someone else that's going to help me scale this puppy. I'm curious, what's the last investment that you've considered?
So the last, it was asking for headcount, but I did have to make a business case for it on how it would provide additional value and how there could be a positive, you know, return for the company by investing in additional resource. And I think that one thing that was really hard for me to kind of like notate in that is the value of focus. And it's, if I get a simple request to do something or a Jira ticket to update this and that, I people just kind of overlook the distraction of that. It's not that it's like a hard task, but if I can stay hyper-focused on building, I can accomplish a lot more. So I basically had to kind of make my case around that. There's someone that we need as a junior, not even a junior admin, but somebody could be just super green, maybe with some Excel skills that just wants to learn. And I can show them a lot of these just kind of little smaller tasks, run these repetitive reports, add SOPs for all these things, even though I'm the one that does them. And I have it, I did have it just from the feedback and I guess the challenge of even just getting that approved, I knew that it would be kind of harder to even just ask for, you know, a separate third party like contract for just like an agency or some fractional RevOps resources. But I think I've kind of started there and based on how easy it wasn't to get that approved, which eventually did, I kind of just said, am I being absolutely 1,000% efficient with my time? And even just over the past few months, I've realized implementing just certain tools for myself that have made me a lot more efficient, a lot more streamlined, keeping people informed. But at the end of the day, that's going to top out. Like that's still not the long-term solution, and there will need to be resources in place. But I think it's really kind of communicating that up and above, and it's really backing that up with like a forecasted kind of, you know, business case to really get buy-in from that. And although it's been slow, you know, it's moving along, but I try not to let that cripple me in any way. You know, I still try to improve in personally in any which way that I can. But eventually when those resources do come, I already know I have a plan in place on like how I will best utilize that and what that'll enable for me. And yeah.
So the interesting thing is I always view these investment requests as almost a deal. You're pitching, just like your sales reps are pitching. They have a win rate. I'm sure no one's winning at 100%. A lot of the investment cases that you're going to make throughout your career, you're not going to bet 100. I don't bet 100. I don't even bet 50%. So just to give you an idea of what that's going to look like. So the interesting thing is, tell me a little bit about the tech stack that you're working with.
So tech stack that we use, Salesforce for a CRM. We use HubSpot for a marketing automation tool. We use Apollo for basically our sales engagement tool. We use Salesforce Navigator for the sales team as well. Let's see, what else are we using? We use Calendly to book our meetings and in place of like Chili Piper. What else are we using? On the CS side of things, we're using Revenue Grid. Mainly that's just for like activity tracking right now. We're looking for some conversation intelligence tools on that side. I think for right now, I think that's mainly it. I have this theory that I need to ensure that adoption on some of these tools are going to be at a point where they should be before I do take on more tech debt. I think it's so easy to have like shiny toy syndrome and just want to have all these tools. And I think it's easier enough for me to go ask for tools and they would approve them than over like headcount for it. But I do know me adding more tools, and if the adoption isn't there, that only adds more for me to maintain, more support for me to support. And so I try to maximize all the tools and the usage before I just say, hey, let's go just bite off something else. And that's been working out really well. I do have other tools, you know, that I've, you know, researched and vetted that I would like, but I just don't want to overload myself by owning those as well.
So you're from Austin. I'm curious if you're a barbecue man. Do you prefer like Terry Black's or Franklin's?
Funny enough, we had a conversation about this last night, but I think the consensus here is everyone thinks that Franklin's is a bit overrated. Terry Black's is pretty delicious, but I will say that my personal favorite is La Barbecue. And there is also a new, which we also discussed at last night's dinner. There's a new barbecue place. It's like an Egyptian barbecue. They have a really unique like rub on their meat. And then they also have like, they make these like, it's kind of like Mediterranean bowls, but it has like pomegranates in it, and like pistachios and rice, but with like this Egyptian barbecue. It's just, I've never had anything like it. And that's also up there for me as well. But if you're in Austin, you definitely got to try it.
Oh, that sounds amazing. I'm a big Mediterranean food person myself. So when I was in Turkey, some of the dishes that I had out there, I can't even find them here in LA. And I don't know if you've been out to West LA, but we call it Tarantulas. There's a lot of Persians and Iranians here. And so the cuisine is just outstanding. So yeah, appreciate you giving me a new barbecue spot to check out.
Of course.
So second to last question for you. Thinking about skills, you've learned a lot in a very short time. So I'm curious, you know, what are one or two things that you're looking forward to in developing to add to your tool belt?
I would say I'm really kind of like focused in right now on the new AI development to kind of what are the impacts that that's having in the RevOps world? Even little simple things like Einstein for flow. Like, I'm just like, great. I spent so many years learning this and trying to perfect it and this be like my competitive, like, angle for things, and now you can just type in certain prompts. So that's kind of disappointing, but still, I think it all just comes with the overall advancement of these types of tools and platforms. So I would just say it's my main two is going to be a combination of just automation and more cross-platform automation, not just like platform specific. I think I'm ready to kind of like just be more creative on certain ways that I can kind of tie things together. Another tool that I've been highly focused on that I'm looking at the opportunity to actually implement is like clay.com and doing things, you know, like prospecting at scale. Cause you could just show my immediate value, just me building a campaign and, you know, and generating interest. So automation and AI, and if it's a combination of those, like it is in Clay, those are the main two areas that I feel are going to keep those of us in RevOps like really sharp with our skill sets. Everything else is gonna, there's a lot of tools right now that are just simplifying the front end UI of just CRM management. So, yeah, just trying to stay, as technical as possible, with whatever new developments there are in RevOps.
Yeah, I was just working on Clay last night, actually, with another peer of mine. We were just looking at the ability to generate tables from a data enrichment source and then layering it onto another data enrichment source. So you're just tacking things on and then being able to grab LinkedIn posts, the most recent posts, and then use ChatGPT to create an AI generated post that uses that personalization. So the ability to do that so quickly in one platform across instead of eight different platforms, it's pretty outstanding. So love the cross-platform automation. So last question for you. Can you think of a moment of change or profound impact that someone's had on you personally or professionally that's quite memorable to you?
I guess this is a, to answer your question with this one, it's I will say that I think it came after like a certain moment, but I'll just say this. So whenever I when like I mentioned earlier, whenever I realized I was starting to do RevOps, and I was like, this is what I want to be my career, I did have like this imposter syndrome, just thinking like I don't have the title for this to, but I do have the skill set and I can speak to that. If I can just get the interview where I can talk to my experience, I think I'll be good. So in my current role, I have a mentor. His name's Miles. He was involved. He was like the technical interview. In my interview process, he was the last one. He was the final boss. He was the big Bowser. And I was just going into that, and I was just super nervous that like, he's gonna think I'm a fraud. I don't have the title to back this up. Just crazy thoughts inside of my head. And when it all came down to it, I ended up getting the role over five other people. They kind of fast tracked me in like the last week when they're like, we need to make a decision. So I was like, oh, I think they already got someone. I was just having all sorts of doubts in my head. But once I got the job, they had told me like, hey, well, we did budget for Miles to kind of be a mentor to you, and everything that he knows about this business so far, he wants to kind of talk to you about that. And I leveraged that in a way that I was like, you know what, I'm going into this. This is my second time designing a tech stack and a CRM from the ground up. I don't want to ask somebody how they would do it. I want to come in and I want to propose how I want to do it. And so I started having like biweekly calls, and there wasn't anything more validating than somebody saying, wow, that's exactly how I would have done it. And so week after week, as I'm saying like, okay, these are the things that I want to do next. Here's my roadmap and stuff like that. And just to see how it was aligned with someone that I had like highly respected, somebody who'd been doing this for about 10 years now, and just building a relationship with him, and then getting to a point where we had pretty much similar tech stacks with Apollo and HubSpot and Salesforce, and I had actually set up things before he did, and me being able to share some of that knowledge from my findings back with him was just, it was just a very nice experience. Like just feeling like that I could reciprocate that. And I feel like that's probably had that person in that instance has had the biggest impact on me from like doubting myself to actually like feeling validated that like I'm in this, I have this title now, and I feel like I'm doing it the right way, that others would do it as well. So I think that was really nice for me.
So for the folks who don't know you, how can folks connect with you, follow you, learn more about you?
I'm not on many other channels besides LinkedIn right now. I have been posting more, and I do plan to post more. And I do have some few side projects that are kind of AI related, I will be posting more about those. So my LinkedIn is Nicholas A. Garza. Don't forget that A. But yeah, find me on there for right now, and hopefully, maybe I'll be on YouTube or some other channels here pretty soon.
Awesome. Thanks, Nick.
Yeah, appreciate your time, Jeff. Thanks.